The staff report on the board workshop public hearing.
Should I start?
Go for it.
Okay. Good afternoon. This is the public hearing and the board workshop for...
I have to call the roll, so...
Okay.
Jeff, you have to make an announcement.
Show.
There's nobody here.
I know that, but just please call the roll. Okay, as we begin our open public hearing.
Okay. Good afternoon again. The budget for fiscal year 2012 at $4.1 billion is balanced. As shown on the next two slides, this budget improves bus and rail system, increases maintenance and cleanliness of our assets, rail stations, transit fleet, and freeways. The budget also includes resources to deliver the Measure R capital program, improve customer information, workforce management, and build a sustainable transportation network. Next slide, some details on full-time employees. Budget includes 70 additional positions, 18 contract, and 52 non-contract. 13 of the non-contract positions are changing over from as needed to full-time positions. Most of the positions are for operation of Expo and planning and construction of Measure R projects. There is no across-the-board salary increase. Next page is a summary of revenues and expenses. Sales tax revenue grew by 2.6%. That's shown on line one. STA funds are included. There is a danger of losing STA funds, and if that happens, we have the ability to make up the shortfall from prior year surplus funds. Total revenues exceed revenues by $384 million. These excess revenues are restricted for Measure R capital projects. There are some risks, STA, Prop 1B bonds, union contract, and the potential cutback in federal funds. We request approval of the proposed budget through recommendations A through F listed in the staff report. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
Mr. Chair?
We've been working on this budget since last December. It is a balanced budget. The themes that Nalini referred to are important. They have to do with on-time, real-time service management, attacking, reducing deferred maintenance, cleaning up our facilities, planning for the next generation of managers and professionals at the MTA, and also delivering our capital program and improving our customer information. I think this is a very good budget. It reflects a great deal of work. It reflects a frugal and thrifty approach to delivering a very large capital program. So it is in that spirit that we request your approval. Thank you.
Okay.
And I think I know the answer to this, and it's a timing issue. We have been, all of us have been told, since the killing of Bin Laden, that there may be an increase in terrorism. Okay. Have we factored that into our budget? The fact that we might need more resources.
Director Du Bois, the Transit Services Bureau and the Protective Services have told us that at the current time they believe that they're covering things, but they're coming forth with an increased proposal that we'll be bringing to the board this summer for some additional resources.
Okay, so it's not ready to be part of this budget. It will
it's
be
not
an
part
amendment.
Of this. They believe that this budget is adequate for what needs to be done, but they believe there's more that could be done, and they'll be bringing that before you this summer.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair and Director, I think I'd like to, we'll schedule a closed session to talk about safety and security. A lot of work is being done, but and we have Union Station now, so we'll schedule that.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Hey, they can't hear you. Wait. We need a microphone. Here we go.
The notice of intent to hold the public hearing.
Closer.
The notice of intent to hold the public hearing was published in the Daily News, LA Watts Times, Lao Pinyon, Rafu Shimpo, Sing Tao, and on the Internet. Affidavits of publication are filed and available in the Secretary's office for review.
Thank you. Comments? Mr. Wilson?
Director Wilson.
Chair. You know, this agency has been working very hard to get a nationwide effort to support America Fast Forward. So my question has to do with a number of different departments and whether we have the thoughtfulness and the staff in place in the event that we're able to convince the federal government to support our efforts to fast forward our 3010 plan. So I would ask if the construction unit, the planning unit and the procurement unit can speak to those issues and the positions that we will need, assuming that we're successful in getting our policy adopted by those who we're trying to get support of.
Mr. Chair, Director Wilson, this budget does not assume that America Fast Forward is approved. It does not assume 3010. It is the personnel requests are predicated on delivering the Measure R program of projects approved by the taxpayers. Now, we have been beefing up our outreach activities in Washington with an eye towards achieving the objective of America Fast Forward. In the event that, you know, as time goes on, the federal reauthorization is discussed and the potential for increased TIFIA loans or whatever it might be, we would then come back to the board and ask for the appropriate resources to deliver that.
So let me see if I got you right. What I hear you saying is that we, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but this is what I'm understanding, is that we are trying to get the 3010 plan implemented sooner than later. Is that correct?
Well, we're trying to get it approved, yes. We're in negotiations back in Washington.
Yes.
On it. Yes, sir.
And so let's say we're successful. What are the next steps? How are we going to, in fact, move forward in getting these projects that we are all wanting to have built constructed? Are we planning ahead? Have we thought through the staffing level that we'll need from the construction, from the planning, the engineering side, from the procurement side? What is our contingency plan? Because I think all of us are wishing and hoping that we can get this plan approved. And that's what you're pushing for as well.
Certainly. And if, well, this is not going to happen. Approval of America Fast Forward is not going to happen overnight. There'll be, I suspect, many months of negotiations. There'll be a decision by the Congress and the President to have a federal budget, which they've not done yet, or a new transportation bill. So what we would do is look at the specific components of an America Fast Forward program, figure out what projects that would affect, and then develop the appropriate program staffing in planning, in transit construction, and highway construction to deliver the program. Now, right now, there are positions in the budget, because even without America Fast Forward, we're undertaking one of the largest public works programs locally funded in the history of the Republic. So that does require resources to keep the transit and the highway program moving, as well as the planning activities. But this budget does not assume America Fast Forward. We will come back when that is approved in Washington with a budget amendment with specific programmatic objectives.
So, not part of this budget, no real plan for if it does get adopted, this policy. and we'll come back whenever that happens. What happens with respect to the position, for example, those who are in the construction side, i.e. the traction, folks who do the tunneling, the engineers, how long does it take to recruit for these kinds of positions, and what are we doing to position ourselves so that we can actually move forward?
At a macro financial level, there's planning occurring at two different levels. One is the baseline measure our program, and that's what the budget is built upon. At the same time, we are doing initial work as to what happens in the event we gain the wherewithal for achieving America Fast Forward. And at that time, we would have funding and we would implement the staffing to deliver the programs, the projects, as implied in America Fast Forward. Right now, we don't, the program does not have a broad outline in terms of what actually might be approved. There is a great deal of interest in Washington, and I'm pleased to say that we have really affected the content of the discussion in Washington, D.C. But very frankly, we have to have a balanced budget, and to embark upon an America 3010 program, a construction program, without 3010 having been approved or America Fast Forward approved, would create in a very short term financial problems for us, because we don't have the wherewithal to deliver 30 years of projects in a 10-year period without America Fast Forward.
If I could add on that, Director Wilson, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. Because there is Measure R funding that we've been collecting, and we have been expending money on those projects in the order that Measure R had them, so that a lot of the environmental work, engineering work, some of the design work is going forward, so that should, you know, Senator Boxer, Congressman Micah be successful in what about Congress recesses at around Labor Day, it would be, it's not like we're not starting from scratch at that point, right? So we have the foundation laid, and I know there have been meetings that, you know, that I've been a part of and others have with various private sector folks about stepping in and being able to do project management differently. But I think Director Wilson's points are well taken. We don't want to be caught flat-footed if, you know, if we're successful, and I believe we'll be successful with at least part of what we're trying to get out of Washington this year. So
agree with that.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Okay, let's Coley Norton, Daniel Keller,
thank you, Mr. Chair. I have been representing the UTU for many, many years, and I find it interesting that in the proposed budgets for the six groups of employees, five of the six have increases from 4% to 11%. One has a decrease of 4%. That happens to be the union I represent. I happen to think our members are a very important part of this union. I think they do a very vital public service, and I don't think it's appropriate that they are treated in this manner. If you approve this budget as it is, you are telling our members, we don't appreciate the service you provide, we don't thank you for the service, and we don't really respect you. I don't think you want to convey that message to our members. Thank you very much.
Dr. Clyde Williams. Oh, okay, Mr. Walker, go on.
No, I thought it was Daniel Keller.
Members are right or wrong, but it's
Walsh. John Walsh will be Mr. Clyde Williams is on.
Okay. I'll go after him.
Mr. Walsh will be after.
Dr. Clyde Williams from El Sereno, Northeast LA. We're back to the 710. I-710 North Gap Closure. Wasn't it SR-710 North Extension at one time? But that's trivial. Consistency across the board. Why is there a $13.5 million fiscal year 2012 figure in one area, whereas in another area it's 9.5? But if you take the sum of the 2010, 2011, 2012 numbers, they come out to 13.3. Is this an accumulation that's going to be brought forward to the year 2012 for expenditure, but it's already been spent? It seems very confused regarding the 710 North Extension and how much money is going to be available for doing the environmental impact report this coming year. Thank you.
John, wait one moment. Mr. Keller and then John Walsh. I'm sorry, Mr. Keller, I had made a mistake. Mr. Keller, then Mr. Walsh.
My name is Daniel Keller. I'm from Arcadia. I want to talk about the people that are riding free on the red line, the orange line, and the gold line, because there's no enforcement of any kind. It's worse than it's ever been. When I take the gold line here from Pasadena, you can go upstairs, no one's tapping in. I guarantee your statistics are all screwed up on how many people are using anything. I don't even see anybody writing tickets anymore. It's a joke. The orange line, people just come from the red line, just get on the orange line, never tap in. And that's one of the busiest bus lines there is. My suggestion is to tell the Sheriff's Department that come January 2012, you'll give them more money if they get better results and collect more money by fares going up by their enforcement. Thank you.
Mr. Keller, sorry about the mix-up. Mr. Walsh, first, Mr. Walsh, you signed up three times.
Well, I just like signing up.
Okay.
John Walsh, HollywoodHighlands.org. Your whole budget is under a cloud. Thanks to the Bus Riders Union, you are under federal investigation for civil rights violations. What's most important is Congressman Mike is a Republican chairman of the Transportation Committee of U.S. House from Florida. Mr. Katz, Mayor Villaraigosa, and Mayor Rahm Emanuel. Villaraigosa and Emanuel have met in Chicago. They are secretly funneling money through a company to major corporations, JMB Realty, to Republican candidates chosen by Congressman Mica. In exchange for this, you're going to see this story in the New York Times, and I don't make up stories. And when it appears, you will find out that two major Democrats are, and in exchange for this, Mica will give you what you want. He'll give you your lines. HollywoodHighlands.org. It's great to see Eric Mann here. Thank you.
Sung Yong Young, Francis Puchius.
Good afternoon, board. My name is Sun Young Yang with the Bus Riders Union. I just wanted to add today that this budget, we see 377,000 hours of bus service reduction that's been scheduled for the FY 2012 budget. At a time of when you're under a civil rights investigation, I feel that this board should exclude the 72,000 hours of bus service that hasn't been approved yet, that hasn't gone through a public process, out of this budget proposal. Your revenue, this agency's revenue has gone up almost over $1 billion in the last 3 years since the passage of Measure R. Yet, during those last 3 years, you have almost eliminated 940,000 hours of bus service, revenue service hours, nearly three quarters of the consent decree gains, improvements that you had to make through the federal oversight. So I ask you to take precaution and revise probably the budget to exclude the service cuts that you have for this year and look back at the service cuts that you've made in the last 3 years. Thank you.
After Francisca is Barbara Holland.
Bart Holland.
And then Rosa Miranda.
Hi, this is Francisca Purchas with the Bus Riders Union. I just want to reiterate what Sun Young said. There were 305,000 hours of bus service that you debated a lot the last few months and decided to move ahead, unfortunately. And there are 72,000 extra hours for which you have done no public participation process. You are under federal investigation, and I am urging the board members today, even though you're not really paying that much attention to much of what I'm saying, you won't even look up. It's pretty disrespectful. There are 72,000 extra hours on your budget that for which you had no public participation process whatsoever. So I encourage you to ask your staff what that's about and to caution you not to approve it blindly today. Again, you are under federal investigation for civil rights violations, and if I were you, I'd be a lot more careful about the decisions I'm making today.
Good afternoon, Board. Barbara Lott Holland, co-chair of the Bus Riders Union. We feel that that Art Lathey's proposal for the pilot program reducing the day pass to $5 is a good start. But to really, really increase ridership for the long run, the reversal of the 2010 fare increase must be included, and a stay on the current proposed service cuts is needed. With the high unemployment, riders need to know that they will be able to get to a job farther away from home. And people also need to know that after a night job, it doesn't mean that they will have to wait until the morning bus shift in order to get back home. MTA lost 1.5 million boardings after the fare increase in 2010. Again, a real solution to the low ridership in this economic recess would be to stop the current proposal of service cuts, reinstate the service cuts that have already been eliminated, and fully reversal of the 2010 fare increase. Thank you.
Miranda, and then Malcolm Klugman.
Buenas tardes, mi nombre es Rosa Miranda y soy miembro del Sindicato de Pasajeros.
Good afternoon, my name is Rosa Miranda, I'm a member of the Bus Riders Union.
Estoy pidiendo a este comité que deben considerar en el presupuesto restaurar líneas de autobús que fueron eliminadas anteriormente.
I'm asking this MTA board today to restore bus lines that were eliminated previously.
El sindicato de pasajeros siempre estamos argumentando cuáles serán los impactos acumulativos después de eliminar servicio de autobús.
We're at the BRU constantly arguing what the impacts of bus service cuts will be.
Pero este comité debería de pedir un asesoramiento después de eliminar servicio.
But this committee should ask for a real analysis post cuts.
Tenemos, por ejemplo, el este de Los Ángeles, que está diciendo que le eliminaron la línea 30 y 31.
For example, East LA that had 30 and 31 lines eliminated.
Ustedes deben de parar los recortes de 72,000 horas propuestas para eliminar y restaurar servicios eliminados como son la línea 30 y 31.
You should stop the 72,000 hours of bus service that you're proposing today and actually restore line 30 and 31 in East LA.
La señorita Gloria Molina, la comunidad que ella representa, le ha reflejado y argumentado los impactos de eliminación de autobús.
Ms. Gloria Molina, your community that you represent has continuously argued to you the importance of 30 and 31 and how those cuts are going to impact them.
Por eso pedimos que no sigan violando los derechos civiles de los pasajeros.
Again, we ask you to stop violating civil rights of the bus riders.
Nuestra demanda es que introduzcan una enmienda para que estas líneas 30 y 31 estén restauradas dentro del presupuesto.
Again, we ask you to restore line 30 and 31 inside this budget.
Thank you.
All right, I want to get this straight. The service is about to be cut in June. But this young lady said that if federal funds don't come in as we expected, we'll use surplus funds to make up the difference. Now, there's a problem there. Why don't just not cut the service and get the federal funds, and you won't have to worry about that. Second of all, don't cut the bus drivers' money. What are you, crazy? I'd like to see any of you. We'll do undercover boss. I'd like to see any of you guys go out for a day and drive an MTA bus. You don't have the temperament for it. Neither do I. Leahy, he's done it, you know. But then you guys would mess it up. Are you kidding me? You probably have to ask directions from the people on the bus where you're going.
Any comments from the members? I especially want to thank and recognize Nalini Ahuja and her budget team for what you have done. Your excellent job, and it took a lot of work and your preparation, but thank you for that. But this would mark the closing of the hearing, but written comments are able to be accepted until 4:30 p.m. on Friday, May 20th, so written comments can be submitted up to 4:30 p.m. Friday on May 20th. So we motion to close the hearing.
Move it.
We have a motion by Supervisor Rosowski, second by Supervisor Katz. Director?
Not in the public hearing.
Okay. Without objection, then so ordered. Okay. Director Wilson.
I think the CEO is going to get someone to answer one of these questions for me. It has to do with the TAP system, and the other question has to do with the next generation system, which is smartphone applications. Is your staff here now?
Matt Raymond, please.
Yes, what's the question?
Can you tell us what the agency is planning with respect to the next generation system and giving our customers the ability to access using their smartphone or other technologies where a bus is located at or where a train is located at while they're waiting for it?
It's the next trip system. It's actually in operation right now. It's been received very well by those who have used it. We've done a soft launch testing the system out, but it's fully functional, fully ready to go. The next phase of the project will be putting out information at bus stops so that people can identify via text the exact location that they're at and get the next trip information by bus stop. So the technical infrastructure is put into place. The physical infrastructure will go into place next. And the program's moving forward.
So, do we have dollars in the budget this budget to actually help us begin to implement this more fully?
I believe everything's budgeted for this program. Yes.
Yes. Better information is one of the themes in the budget, and Nalini might want to speak to it. But along with better real-time service management, improved on-time performance of specifically on the bus component of the transit system, better integration of the buses, part of what gives life to that and makes it workable is better information, real-time information, which is exactly along the lines of the next trip or the next bus capabilities that you're referring to. And Nalini, that's an ongoing activity that's in the budget.
Yes.
Very good. Mr. Chair, there is an item that I'd like to propose that as an amendment to this budget adoption, and it's staff, can you pass this around, or has to do with the hot lanes corridor? Does everyone have a copy of it?
An extra copy he made.
Yeah, I'm sorry, yes. Michelle, it's okay because we can listen.
You have a comment?
Mr. Wilson?
Is this appropriate, sir? Is this the right time?
I don't know why not. I mean, why would this not be?
Mr. Chair, maybe I can just... We've concluded the hearing, and we're now in a special meeting of the board. The board has two basic options. You can decide not to act any further. Then this will be agendized for the next for the board meeting next week. Alternatively, and it is in your agenda for the special board meeting, this is the board as seated. The board could approve the budget today. In the event that's the case, then a proposed amendment, such as you've just passed out, would be appropriate at this time.
I'll second the amendment.
Okay, so is it appropriate to bring it before the committee at this time?
This is the board.
Well, before the board right now.
Yes.
Yeah. For today.
For today. Excuse me.
Any questions?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I wasn't aware that we were going to be voting to approve the budget today. I thought this was largely a public hearing and some possibly some discussion, but I would ask that... take these amendments and make them part of the package, but then put it over to the board meeting next week so that we have at least another week to go over this, because I haven't had any time to go through this, and my staff has had very little time. So I don't see any problem with that. It's still May.
Any objection to that?
No.
I would ask then that this group, the board, vote on these amendments, so then that's our authority for changing the proposal.
That's fine.
And if there's no objection to that, then...
It would be a recommendation to the board.
Motion by Supervisor Slaska, second without objection.
Public comment. Board meeting.
Request to speak on an item that's on the agenda. Well, my interpretation may differ from county council, but if you have an item on an agenda, the public has the right to speak on that item. I mean, that is the way we do it at our Board of Supervisors meeting. If you have an item on the agenda at a public meeting, you have the right, the public, to speak. At our board, we give 2 minutes. Here, we give 1 minute. So.
Could we see that amendment?
I'm not talking about the amendment. I'm talking about the item, the budget. You have that ability to speak at next week's meeting. I'm not talking about the amendment. That's a different scenario. Amendments can be talked about, discussed within the body who is making that decision. But a public item that is agendized, you have the right to speak on.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just clarify on the amendment, I'd like, we're not approving the amendment, we're just including the amendment as part of the continuance and transmittal to the board meeting on Thursday. So there's no action on the amendment itself.
And no action on the budget.
So you can speak on it.
This is all process.
Okay. Any other items for this body? A motion to adjourn without objection, so ordered. Oh. Next week's comment next week.
So we have to discuss it. So if they are not happy.